Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Guess who's back? I'm your host, Ian Mackey, and welcome to the Sports Scene Show. As you see, I'm by myself, which is probably going to be the routine for a little while. So I'm so sad and so disappointed I've not been able to do this blog talk every Tuesday and Thursday with you guys. Work's been crazy. It's hard to manage my work schedule, and then I got engaged, so, you know, I appreciate all the love, and people say, when are you going to do the talk radio again? So I'm back. For those who don't know, we're going to be doing the show Tuesdays and Thursdays. The call-in is 516-531-9784. Now that we're back, man, there's a lot of things that happen, man. We're at Super Bowl now. The NBA season has progressed really fast. Things are really shaking up in my life and in sports. So today we'll be breaking down David Blatt being fired, Super Bowl 50, you know, Broncos versus Panthers, Cam Newton, and the comments about race and being a black quarterback, and then other NBA news and rumors that's breaking down in the NBA. So let's start with David Blatt getting fired. Now, David Blatt, you know, decent coach, made it to the finals last year. He didn't sign up initially to take on LeBron. Like, it was initially, it was going to be Kyrie Irving, Wiggins, Tristan Thompson, and build that little nucleus up, that young team, and down the line, they'll be really good. He didn't sign up for LeBron signing there in the offseason, which we all didn't think was going to happen last year, the year before last. And then now he's got to bring in the championship. Then they brought in Kevin Love. Now he's got to deal with trying to bring the championship to Cleveland, which is unfair for the job he initially signed up for, of guiding Kyrie and Wiggins and Tristan Thompson along. But with that being said, it was inevitable for this to happen. I mean, you lost in the finals last year. You made it to the finals. But, I mean, he wasn't ready for this job. He wasn't ready for that moment. He needed some years in to get to that moment. He got thrust into that moment. He just wasn't built for the job. And all the stories coming out in Cleveland, how he never shut LeBron in film practice, it was inevitable for this to happen for David Blatt. And I get it. And for those who don't get it, they should, because it has been crazy in the NBA world with Rick Carlisle and Stan Van Gundy. Now, this is the funny part with me, with these two guys. They got fired for the same thing. Rick Carlisle was the head coach of Detroit, and he made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Just couldn't get them over the hump. So, you know what Detroit said? Detroit ownership said, look, we got a championship caliber team. You're a decent coach. You're just not ready to take this team over the top. So they let him go, and they brought in Larry Brown. Larry Brown got them a championship. And then took them to another finals, and they lost to the Spurs. Listen, at some point in time in your life, you may not be ready for that particular moment. Rick Carlisle, at that moment in time, was not ready for that particular championship, pushing the team over the hump moment. Same thing with Stan Van Gundy. And there, he was the head coach of the Miami Heat with Shaq and Wade. He just couldn't get them over Detroit. So you know what Pat Riley said? Listen, go home to your family. And that was the thing. He wanted to spend more time with his family. Send him home. Miami wins the NBA championship. Sometimes with these coaches, and these two hard coaches, these are like women who are scorned, who've been through what David Blatt's been through. Like, yo, they said I wasn't good enough. They let me go and then they won the championship. I get it, Rick Carlisle. I get it, Stan. You guys are hurt because the same thing happened to y'all. Y'all thought it was unfair. But it's not unfair. You can't get this team over the hump. There's no point of you staying here. I'm going to bring in a coach who knows what he's doing. Cleveland didn't bring in a coach who knew what they were doing. They can get them over the hump. But either way, they brought in someone who would stand up to LeBron like, yo, you turn the ball over. Why are you not getting back on defense? You needed a coach that was going to be able to stand up to LeBron and check him. And with Tyronn Lue, even though it's only been three games, he said, too many people on this team are worried about their brand. Your brand will be okay, close quote, if you win. Your brand's gonna be great if you win. Because winning builds your brand. Losing, you can have a brand to an extent on a losing team. But winning a championship changes your whole brand. Winning multiple championships and you being a young player like Kyrie and Kevin Love really changes your brand. So with Tyronn Lue, the things he learned in the Doc Rivers, I feel like he just brought when he became the leader of this team to an extent next to LeBron, is that when we win, your brand grows. And no disrespect to David Blatt, I think he's a really decent head coach. He just wasn't ready for this moment. Just like Rick Carlisle wasn't ready, just like Stan Van Gundy. And it happens to coaches all the time. I don't see them throwing this much of a fit when Mark Jackson got let go and they brought in Steve Kerr. I just don't see it. I didn't see this type of guys being upset, head coaches being upset when Mark Jackson got let go. And he took that team from nothing, not so much nothing, but from not making a playoff to being relevant. And then Steve Kerr took him to another level. And then Steph Curry game went to another level. It wasn't just Steve Kerr taking him, tweaking some things on that team. And then they skyrocketed. But those players were progressing. Those players were getting better. We didn't see this coming from Steph with a championship under his belt. Even if you didn't win the championship last year, he was going to get this good. If you didn't see it last year, you've seen it coming. But with the David Blatt issue, man, listen, sometimes you're just not ready for that particular moment. But when Rick Carlisle got another shot at becoming a head coach with the Dallas Mavericks, he won NBA championships. It just takes different moments in life. You're not ready for a particular moment sometimes. And right now, Blatt wasn't ready for the moment. And Cleveland took it upon himself and said, hey, this is not LeBron's decision. And maybe he was in on it, or maybe he wasn't. But we got to let you go. And there's no disrespect to the head coach. He just wasn't quite ready for that particular moment. But also, even if LeBron let him go, people, oh, LeBron, the coach, he let the coach go. Even if he was involved or he wasn't involved, like they say he wasn't involved, we don't have the power to let people or our bosses, if they're doing a horrible job, go. I think some people get upset, like, why does he get that right? Well, he's a millionaire, and he also plays on a team that if they don't win a championship, it falls on him. Now, whether he was a part of the discussion or not, it always going to fall on him, regardless of what management does. Like, people always blame Kevin Garnett for not winning the championship in Minnesota. I don't see him drafting these players or making those type of decisions, but it always fell on a player. Now, whether he's making those decisions directly or indirectly, it always falls on a player. Kobe with Smush Parker and all them, why he couldn't win the championship with Smush Parker, Chris Mim and all them. Well, they weren't good enough. But it always falls on the player. Never the organization, never ownership, always on the player why they can't win championships. And, you know, and that's the sad part about being an athlete or a star in that particular sport. Yes, it comes with the territory, being the alpha dog on the team, making the most money, but also putting the right pieces around you, too, in order for you to win a championship. So it's a collective effort. It ain't just one side over another. It has to come together all at the same time. Like, look, the Knicks. And nothing has came together. Yeah, you have a really good player in Carmelo Anthony, but you don't have draft picks. You messed up over the years, so you couldn't pull that all together. But at the same time, it's a co-mingling. It's one half of speaking of marriage. Here it goes. Got to have a wife. You know what I'm saying? You got to find a person that fits you, and you need an organization, ownership, and a GM to fit the player at the same time, at the right time, in order to win a championship. Or you never won one. I patch you and Reggie Miller. No disrespect to those guys, I'm just speaking. But on to the next subject, man. You know, we talked about the NBA. Now we're getting next weekend, Super Bowl. Not this weekend coming up, the following Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, the Broncos versus the Panthers. Now this is Peyton Manning's swan song, end of the road, the last rodeo, however he wants to call it, this is it. This is where the rubber meets the road. So a lot of people will be rooting for Peyton next weekend, and for the Panthers next weekend. So, man, this is going to be a really interesting matchup. I wouldn't necessarily make it a quarterback game. This would be a game based off defense. Two great defensive teams. I mean, they got a really good secondary with the Broncos, decent secondary with the Panthers. And we'll talk about this more, but I just want to let you guys need to focus on the defense. Don't be necessarily focused on Peyton and the offense. Cam Newton's offense is really good. Cam Newton and them boys are really good with running the ball and being the top scoring offense in the league. But these defenses don't get enough credit. They just don't. They don't get enough credit for being as good as them, carrying in teams at certain points of the season, because that's what the Broncos did at certain points of the season, carry the Broncos and Peyton on their back to the Super Bowl. And so did the Panthers, certain points of the season, with Cam Newton and him not playing well and the offense not scoring any points, they carried him to a certain extent. So I don't want people to forget, like, this is Cam Newton versus Tom Brady. This is two great defenses facing off, hoping neither one of their quarterbacks or running back or anybody on special teams makes a mistake to put your defense in a bind to where other teams can really score. I think that that's going to be key leading up to the Super Bowl and what people are not going to focus on, what will transpire, because these defenses are top-notch. Top-notch defense, especially the Broncos, number one defense in the league, top-notch versus number one offense scoring-wise in the league. So we got to be real mindful, not focusing on Cam Newton versus Peyton Manning, but we just really need to just focus on these great teams or great defenses facing off in the Super Bowl and respect the fact that these defenses brought these teams this far. Another thing heading towards Super Bowl, Cam had a press conference yesterday. Press conference leading up to the Super Bowl, or the main press conference where the whole world shows up. The NFL has really changed their dynamic in having this press conference at night, which gets more viewers. So they're really starting to change their business aspect to a point. So next Monday will be the big press conference where all the media around the globe descend upon San Francisco's football area, and they just ask all type of questions to all these players. But Cam spoke about being a black quarterback in his day and age, and just speaking in general, here's a quote. I've said it since day one. I'm an African-American quarterback that may scare a lot of people because they haven't seen anything that they can compare me to. Oftentimes it's funny. I get inspired. It makes me go out there and practice even harder because I remember when I worked out for the draft and I would see Senior Bowl playing and I see these guys work and bust their tails and try to get drafted, trying to get a job to provide for their family or for themselves. It's like, I'm here. I'm doing exactly what I want to do and how I want to do it. Now, some people may not like Cam. And for what reason, you probably couldn't even tell them. A lot of people are like, I don't like him because he dabs. Oh, he dances. It's all about him. But the quarterback is really your team. It's not about, you can have fun. You always say have fun in what you do. You tell kids have fun in what you do. He's having fun. Now, if you don't like him because he dances, I mean, you don't like the discount double check of Tom Brady smacking his players on the head, talking about, let's go, rah, rah, rah. Everybody shows a different type of emotion. We all have people at the job that may talk too much, that may kiss the boss butt, or different things. But you got to just respect the fact that it takes hard work to get this point. If you know any type of athlete, play any type of sport, whether it's tennis, whether it's golf, any athlete that played in college or overseas, extreme amount of focus and just determination to get to that point and hard work. Like, it's just not he's a 6'4", 250 and not work hard. In order to be a quarterback in this league and make it to the game he's making it to, it takes extreme amount of work, extreme amount of studying and focus and forgetting about the distraction, what people may say. And people are like, oh, you're comparing it to race. I want people, if you listen to the show, go to Bleacher Report, go to ESPN, look at an article about Cam, and just read the comments. And just read all the negative, racially slurred, horrible comments. And I'm not bringing this up to bring up race or say black people have it bad, even though some of us really do, a lot of us still really do. It's the point that I have nieces, and I have nephews that live in Iowa and in different places, in different parts of the town, or very rich parts of town, like Avon. I don't know if Avon's rich, but a really, really nice parts of town. And what I don't want for them is to see racially charged people treat them meanly. And I know it's going to happen because it happened to me at a certain point because I worked in a particularly dominant white area and I'm a male man, and some people can treat you real rudely. But what you don't want in this world, and as far as we get away from slavery and segregation, and hopefully these people, no disrespect to these older people who are racist, die off, and they don't, pass that racial hatred to other to their family members, we all grow to that is all love. That at the end of the day, it's all about love and being respectful and loving and being Christians to one another and loving each other as we are the same, because we all believe the same. We all want our kids to have better. We all want our family to be better. So it's hurtful to an extent to watch this Super Bowl come up and then like, well, he gabs too much and he has too much fun. And I mean, that's what it's about. You make it to this point, you work your tail off, get to this point, you gotta have some fun. Whether you like the dab or you like the discount double check, there's nothing wrong with what he does. And I just want people to really look at this, and I want to look at the comments and think about how you react to Kim. Why? It's something about him I just don't like. Is it because he's 6'4", a black man who has gained a little money in life because he plays the sport and you have it? Or is it because, you know, you want Peyton Manning to win, you want Peyton Manning to be a swan song? And that's okay. That's cool that you want Peyton Manning to win and go out with a bang. We all want, I want Kobe to go out with a winning championship like 6. Jordan, I tied you, yeah. But it ain't going to happen for me and my Lakers. It's going to have this swan song. It's going to be a horrible, and the Lakers going to lose. And hopefully we have a top 3 protected draft pick. Or we get another one draft pick, we get Ben Simmons. But outside of that, if you just don't like him because he dabs or he's an individual, he likes to have fun, that's not a way to dislike someone or be angry towards someone because he's different than you. No one's going to be just like you. So I just want people to really get to understand, like, it's not about you. It's not about your feelings towards Cam. And honestly, you don't care. So, I mean, with the racial comments, I mean, you guys have to, you even know some of these people. Like, yo, that was kind of rude. Like, I know you had black friends. Why would you? Well, I just don't like him. Like, there was an article I read about the 80s about a reporter, I forgot his name, and I was just looking at it, about how some people truly love O.J., and I know he's a bad person. They killed his wife when the movie's coming on soon, but how they love O.J. as a football player in Buffalo. Loved him as a player. But we call people in the neighborhood N-word or treat them rudely or say racially slurred things on a regular basis, but love them as a player. And the same thing goes for Magic and probably even our current players, NBA or NFL. There's people in Carolina that don't like Cam Newton, and he's putting Carolina on his back. But they just don't like it. It's that type of hatred that we don't need in this world. And we have enough going on with religion and ISIS. And I'm sorry to get off sports for a second, but it's too much going on for you to carry this much hate around in you. It takes too much energy. And I'm sure you can use the energy for other places, kids, or build a hut, or do whatever you want. It's too much joy and love in the world to carry that amount of hate for you to focus on a person. In that way, it just takes too much. It's too much energy. It takes too much energy for me to talk about this type of stuff right now, because that is a detriment to humanity for us to even focus on that. And we should all be appreciative of talents like this that only come around once in a lifetime. He is a mixture of Warren Moon and Steve McNair with a little bit of Vic. I ain't talking about the dog, Vic. I'm talking about Speed Vic in Atlanta. He's a mixture of all those guys put into one. Built in a blender of God and put down on us on this earth, and we should enjoy. Like Joe Montana, once in a blue moon. Jerry Rice, once in a lifetime athlete. Work at Bo Jackson. I go on and on with players. Wayne Gretzky, just once in a lifetime athlete that we don't like them because I guess they play a sport, the teachers don't make enough, or whatever your feel towards these people, we don't appreciate them. Like, we don't appreciate good teachers. Like, I appreciate it. I didn't appreciate my teacher, Miss Pratt, at the time, who was my middle school teacher, but I appreciate her now for giving me the book, The Giver, and making me love to read. But we just don't appreciate good people while we have them. And there's a church song where my mom sings, you got to give these people flowers while they live. And I ain't saying you got to celebrate Cam or love him. I'm just saying appreciate what you see in front of you because you may never see it again. But that's my thoughts on that. In particular, now back, you know, to NBA news because we got to have fun. Like, the downside is over. The sadness is over. Racial epithets and slurs. Let's move beyond that. Let's get back to fun. Back to the NBA, the thing I love. All right. Now, the rumors going around, Jeff Teague may be traded to him. Now, I wouldn't be shocked, you know, if Jeff Teague comes back to the great state of Indiana, play for the Indiana Pacers. But I just feel like Atlanta knows that they reached their limit with him. Like, they know what he's going to be. And they like Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder, young player, younger than him, plays particularly better in the fourth quarter. But Jeff Teague, for some odd reason, he's just not fitting in Budenholzer's system anymore. And ain't no disrespect to Jeff Teague. He just probably just don't fit that Spurs system. Like, he just don't. He needs to be out. And Atlanta sees it, too. So there are plenty of teams that want a point guard, who need a point guard, like the Knicks. Knicks definitely need a point guard. Or upgrade. Jeff Teague would definitely be an upgrade. But the Knicks don't have enough trade value or assets to get a player like Jeff Teague. It just doesn't happen that you just get a player like this and he comes to your team. The Pacers really do need to make some moves also, but they don't have the assets to move Jeff Teague either or to get him. The Pacers really do need to make some moves altogether. They've been in a losing streak. They had some bright spots with Josh Young and Miles Turner. But all in all, they really do need to make some key changes at this point. Hit the reset button. I know they hit the reset button before, but you got some young pieces in Miles Turner and Josh Young that you may need to add another young piece, another young power forward, or and Ryan Anderson trying to move some things around and probably play some small ball, space the floor with Ryan Anderson and Miles Turner out there at the same time, bringing Jeff Teague back, maybe moving George Hill. But you got to find a way to get younger and just keep building around on Paul George. But another key NBA issue, I know I'm probably like, why you didn't discuss it? The Blake Griffin incident. Now, I don't want to talk about players hitting team advisors or scout members or whoever, or assistants or whatnot. But you can't have that. Not in today's NBA, not in today's society, you can't. You can't hit assistants, you can't hit coaches, you can't hit players, you can't hit the ball boy, you can't hit anybody. And to me, it's being disrespectful to your team to break your hand hitting your so-called, because he's supposed to be his friend. Now, my friends get under my skin, but not to the point where I break my hand hitting their face 4 to 6 weeks. Now, a broken hand takes longer than that. It just naturally does. To heal, to get back to playing basketball the way you want to play at a top-notch level right before the playoffs, you can't do that. So for Blake Griffin, it's not to say that's who he is. He had a moment, and we all have him. But to a point where you're making millions of dollars and you got to be there for the team and you've been out already, you can't make that mistake. You just can't. And You just can't have that. As far as the NBA goes, they're going to look into it. They're going to find out more information. And, they're going to suspend them in their own right. They're going to find what really happened. And they're going to suspend Blake Griffin also, because they can't have that. Just like the Gilbert Arenas thing with gambling and teams with gambling on planes and doing things like that. You just can't have that in today's NBA. And I'll also speak on the NBA. All-Star Games approaching. I do like the concept the NBA went this year with the sophomores and rookies, the world versus us, the USA. The foreign players, and I talk about this often, and I don't think people hear me enough or my friends, but the world is getting better in basketball. Ben Simmons from Australia, Canada, got Wiggins, Corey Joseph, Anthony Bennett either way, the world is getting better at basketball. And sooner or later, they're going to have enough talent, maybe, not really, to challenge the NBA, the USA team, one day, the Olympics. But the Olympics are going to get interesting for the next 10 to 15 years, because I feel the world is evolving into a basketball type of world. Like, kids are just not playing football like they used to. It's just not happening like that because of the violence and the concussion. Kids are going to veer towards soccer, baseball, hockey, and basketball. Like, it's already the world's game anyway. People love basketball globally. It's starting to become a global game. Just, not like soccer, but it's getting there. But the world is getting better. So I like the concept of this year the NBA is doing the world, the USA. The youth movement in both worlds, and it'll draw attention, and it builds the glow around, like, we want to see more foreign players really get into this game. And I love it. I love Ben Simmons. I love Wiggins. I think he's a great talent. I love Kristaps Porzingis. He's going to do some things. And could you imagine next year on the world team, Kristaps Porzingis and Ben Simmons? Wow. Show up and show out. Show up and show out. But, yeah, the NBA season is getting – we're almost at the midway point, which is a good thing. We're at a break time where the Warriors are dominating, and they're the best team. They're one. Spurs are two. Cavs are three. And then there's the rest of the NBA. That's how it's breaking down right now. So hopefully the Cavs can hope that the Spurs and Dubs, Warriors, a.k.a. Warriors, beat up on each other. And then – something happens, and then when they wear themselves out in that Western Conference Finals, and they get a depleted, wore-out Spurs-Warriors team, and they walk off with the championship, and LeBron wins one for the land. Then we can get this notion of Cleveland not winning the championship in any sport since Jim Brown or whoever, since Jim Brown. So we just want to enjoy the next couple months because NFL season is basically over. Some people are going to be really sad. I'm kind of sad. But you got the draft, and you got the rest of the NBA season and the NBA playoffs. So you got to enjoy the next couple of months for what it is in sports, and I'm glad I'm back. Work has really killed me. Me not being able to do the show the way I want to do it. My co-host has been busy. He had another kid. I got engaged. It's been a really busy year for me, but I really do appreciate those who follow the show, those who want to follow the show, Blog Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Sports Fiends, click follow me, check out my last podcast or my last shows, tell me what you think, give me feedback. I love you guys and God bless.